B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Update for Hardy and myself and everybody else.
And me.
We didn't recognize the VVV smells like victory, apparently from Apocalypse Now.
Never saw it.
I can't say I've ever seen Apocalypse
Never
Now.
Seen it.
But Hardy's seen every movie under the sun.
Is that how Robert Duvall delivers that line? Here's the line. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Smells like, I don't know, victory. Very Robert Duvall-esque delivery, right?
Yeah.
He kind of like stops himself. And great actors. They never look like they're reading lines. It looks like he's actually thinking of what he's going to say. Or does he say it like this? I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
No.
I think we're giving him too much credit to think he's quoting Apocalypse Now.
The ball game is over, and it is another victory. It smells like a victory.
I don't think that's Apocalypse.
That's not how it went?
That got creepy.
That's not how it goes in the movie.
Well, sorry about that.
Maybe want me to pull up Bobby Duvall?
Sure. Go ahead. You do that. Get the actual comparison going.
Yeah. You tell me if it sounds like he's paying homage. Okay.
Victory!
Victory!
Here it is. All right, here we go. Here's the scene.
Victory.
Does one have anything to do with the other?
It smells like a victory!
No.
No.
Sorry, TV. No.
Victory.
Yeah, see, very different.
Okay.
Very different.
Victory.
Very different. You know who didn't smell any victory yesterday again? Your Boston Bruins. Losers again.
Don't.
Losers.
Say it like that.
What? They're losers. They were losers again.
They didn't win the game, if that's what you
mean. No, they most definitely didn't. 3-2, they lose to the Lightning yesterday. Do you think they can get by the Lightning if they match up with them in a series?
Oh, I do. Based on last night, I do not love their chances.
How's that make you feel?
That was my point earlier. The Lightning looked really good, even when the Bruins looked at their best. And I bring up the power play that was, I think, in the third period, and they kept it in the. They kept it in the Lightning zone for like over a minute. They just never looked dangerous, and the Lightning always looked like they were ready to pounce on something, whether it was a loose puck or. Get loose on a breakaway or stand somebody up, on the blue line. And that's kind of how they scored the last goal. They squirted through it. It wasn't even that, pretty of an entry into the Bruins zone, but they got it in, and they just always look like they're dangerous. Tuukka had to make some big saves to keep that a tie game for as long as it was there when it was 2-2. And I don't know. If I were another team playing the Bruins right now, even knowing that they've got Tuukka Rask and David Pastrnak and Marchand and Bergeron and Char, I don't know that I'd be afraid of them. They don't look like a scary team right now.
Well, the big first-round hiccup last year was Tampa Bay, to the point where they are apologizing to their fans. We're going to get an apology from the Bruins if they bow out in the first round like the Tampa Bay.
It doesn't feel like
Lightning
an apology type
ago.
Of season, no.
No, it doesn't, but it feels like they could be that team this time around.
No, but if they amp it up
under ridiculous, unusual circumstances, yes.
See, they're not going to play like they did consistently through those first two games. I think they're going to be better. So I have to assume that when you play Tampa, and if you do play Tampa, I would give them a chance in the series. Sure. Absolutely.
A chance?
Yeah.
Oh, yay.
You said, hey, yeah, but Hardy's like, hell no. I don't think it's like
fait accompli. They should have a chance. They should have a chance. I would hope they'd have a chance. We're not going into a series. Any series, I hope, with this Bruins team thinking they've got no shot. But the way they've played so far, I can understand why right this second you look at that and say, oh, they're not going to beat that team. They're, you know, if you're making a prediction, they're not going to beat Tampa Bay. Last year, their cup, their path to the cup was without having to go through Tampa Bay.
Right.
Tampa Bay fell apart at the wrong time of the year. And I'm just hoping that it's not the Bruins this year, like Tampa Bay was a year ago. Ken is in Shrewsbury today. Ken.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, Ken.
More stringent protocols being put in place by the professional teams. And then I watch the Celtics high five, low five, the coach shakes their hand.
You know what, Ken? That pregame. Did you see the pregame? Your pregame, man, with the introductions. It's
like your comment on that.
Okay. I like this call. I thought the same exact thing in pregame yesterday. So they're doing their starting introductions, and they get their little tunnel, and they come through, and they fist pump each other, and chest bump, and this guy gets this guy, pulls this guy in, whispers in his ear this. Then they come in as a huddle, and it's like, and I'm like, a lot of germs being passed there. I thought the same exact thing.
But it's
not that you're going to make them turn. They're in a bubble.
They're in a bubble.
They're in a bubble. They're clear, Ken. They're
more,
in a bubble.
More germs that are going to be passed when they're out there playing.
It, as opposed to holding the basketball and passing it to a teammate?
Or I don't know, posting a guy up, down low, and turn around and breathing all over you.
Yeah. It made me feel better about this virus for those 5-10 minutes right there. Like, hey, like this is a little this is normalcy.
Yeah.
For these guys. And hey, if they're going to sacrifice and go to the bubble and not be with family members and friends and be together and pass the test, go and do whatever the hell you want. And I think that's what they're doing.
One thing we haven't gotten to today is the hit on Anders Bjork yesterday. Ray in Dorchester on that. What do you have for us?
Yeah, the hit with Goodrow, I'm surprised there wasn't any discipline. And it did happen with about 10 minutes left in the third period. If there was a major penalty on that, do you think it would have changed the outcome of the game? I'll listen, guys. Thanks.
I think it's possible.
Sure.
The Bruins did play better later in that game. So when he says there's no discipline, does that mean there's no hearing? Is that what he's saying?
I think Haggerty said that this morning, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So
I thought I saw him tweet that.
Yeah, I see a story on Nesson's website right now.
That's what's interesting. In this, you know, sort of accelerated season and everything's shrunken down, are they going to ref and rule differently upon things?
Yeah, Haggerty reporting. Joe Haggerty of NBC Sports Boston saying he's not expected to face any supplemental discipline. Bjork still played in the game. Mm. It was a dirty play, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different because Bjork was down low, right? So he's not at normal height. He wasn't skating by. He wasn't up against the boards or anything. Right. But it felt like a dirty hit. It felt like he took an opportunity to cheap shot him.
Yeah, it's just a reaction, too. And it just I just think they're going to be more lenient on these guys as to not, you know, compound the problem of, and now you're going to miss a guy for, what, 4 games. Yeah, that could be costly.
Let's go to Pat in the car. Hey, Pat.
Pat.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, listen, we all understand where they were at before this pandemic hit. They were in first place with a really good lead. But I feel like now they're playing the feel sorry for me game. They need to get their heads out of their keisters and start playing, or they're going to have a quick playoff round here. I mean, you know, I don't trust Rask either. I mean, I don't know what it is with him, but the big games, he just doesn't seem to play well, you know? And they need to figure this out. They all need to start figuring it out. We got enough young legs on this team and enough leaders that they should be able to get their legs going and get rolling.
It wasn't perfect early, but I thought he made some great saves in this game.
He did. He made some big saves.
Saved
late.
Their ass. Yeah, late. At 2-2, there was a stretch of 2-2 there, and it was a flurry, and I thought he stood on his head at times.
I think the Bruins' top two lines have been disappointing over the games they've played so far. The Bergeron had a goal yesterday. That line started to get going a little bit. But I'm sorry, do you guys put Tuukka Rask as the problem on this team right now?
No.
No.
I don't get that. And listen, there are plenty of times to rip Tuukka. Fine. I mean, ripping a goalie is, everyone loves to do that.
I hate to see this again.
3-7, right? 3-7.
But I will say it again. He said, Tuukka Rask, you know, once again, he's not showing up in a big game. Have they played a big game? Are these big games?
Yeah, yesterday was a big game.
Why?
I think because it's the Lightning. Because it's the Tampa Bay Lightning. And you look at them as a good opponent.
Okay, you know what? It was a one-goal game.
Tuesday afternoon game.
But to say it's not a big game, I think, diminishes the games themselves.
I understand what Hardy's saying, though. Like, primetime, Thursday, Sunday night, or something like that. It's got a big game feel. It's a spot. Yesterday didn't feel like a big game spot afternoon game.
Even if it were a regular season in which you were tied or close to the second place team in your conference, mm-hmm. and you had, you know, two or three games to go in the year, you'd still treat those as important games. Wouldn't you?
I think the opponent would wake your ass up yesterday. It didn't seem like they were ready to go from the get-go.
And I agree with you on, so I would have thought, like,
it's Tampa, it's Bruins. Like, I'm on my ass in the afternoon on a nice day watching hockey because this is going to be a good game.
You basically dropped three seeds in one day.
Right.
That's a big game.
I feel like, Hardy, I get what you're saying, that they're not playoff games, but they do have some importance here. And they should have no reason to not be fully ready to go.
I don't think they're all that important.
Hardy puts no value on them at all.
Howie, the executive producer of Bruins Network, said it doesn't matter if they're a one or a four seed.
Fine. So throw the seeding out the window then. Are they important to show that you're back and you're playing well? Is it important to play well for the sake of playing well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Yes, we handled our business. We were ready to go.
More of your calls on the Bruins and a hypothetical situation that could play out for the Bruins this Sunday that I find sort of fascinating in this unusual round-robin setup. I'll give you that coming up next and more of your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you want to make a run in the playoffs, you got to beat every team anyways. So, you know, situation is what it is. And I think the worst thing is going to happen to us. We're going to lose the locker room and in our practice rink. So that's about it. I really don't care where we finish. I think we just have to focus on our game and try to improve that coming Sunday and then going to next week. But, yeah, you got to beat anybody anyways. So.
So the Philly game today is at 4 o'clock. Capitals Flyers today at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. Credit to Matt Vautour on Twitter, who came up with this hypothetical situation. Matt Vautour, masslive.com, tweeted this last night. Hypothetical. If Washington loses to Philly in overtime, he wrote tomorrow, that game is today, 4 p.m., and the Bruins and Capitals are then tied with 2 minutes left on Sunday. That's a hypothetical. 2 minutes. They're tied game. Okay. Will Bruce Cassidy pull his goalie, needing a regulation win to get the number three seed?
Oh, what's the score again? Sunday?
Tied.
Okay. 5-5 or 1-1?
He needs a regulation win. An overtime win doesn't do it for him.
Right.
A regulation win. Do you pull the goalie to try and win? Because if not, you're still going to end up as the fourth seed, right, no matter what.
It depends on the score.
So
if it's 1-1, I don't pull.
I have.
If it's 5-5, maybe.
Let's say they're tied at the end of regulation. Does the game end? Why do we have to keep playing?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's a round robin game.
Right. We've never been in this spot in the NHL, right?
Right.
In a round robin where these games were not regularly scheduled games on the. No. These games were simply put in place to determine seeding. If the seeding is determined at the end of regulation, why do they have to keep playing?
You don't.
Can they stop the game and say, that's it, regulation tie, 2-2, 3-3, whatever it may be?
I'm sure both teams would agree to it, right?
Save the guys. It's 5-0 after the second period. Do they just say, hey, we're done. We're good. We're rolling into the playoffs.
No. That doesn't work like that. It's if the result is actually the end of regulation. No mercy rule.
No Jim.
We're not making
rule.
Up the rules on the fly, but what if that happens? At the end of regulation, we're tied. The Bruins cannot capture the.
No, they don't pull the goalie because they've said all along seeding's not important.
Oh, I love that take.
Right? That's what they've been saying all along. They have to beat everybody anyways.
No, Tuca, you can't get pulled because you don't care. You have to beat anybody.
Just play Tuca right there. Doesn't matter. Got to play everybody anyway.
Well, maybe they'll pull him because they care about the locker rooms. Maybe they're concerned about the 3 seed versus 4 seed locker
rooms. So the 3 seed would get the Raptors locker room and the 4 seed would get the NBA away team locker room?
Yeah, can't have that. Can't have that. That's a small room. Not built for a hockey team.
Hockey.
Not built for that. But isn't that sort of funny? That's a weird situation.
Hell yeah.
But in order for that, again, to happen, you need to be, you need to have it shake out the right way between now and Sunday. But it's interesting nonetheless. 617-779-0985. Glenn's in Merrimack. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey.
When you mentioned that in an earlier segment that you saw, you know, Tampa just pouncing on the puck a lot faster than the Bruins. And while the lack of effort's been concerning, I think that's the thing that concerns me. They've looked slow and they've looked unprepared. I've seen more pucks just flown to areas where there are no teammates in the last couple of games than I've seen in a long time from this team. So that's what worries me.
What do you attribute it to? Is it their age? You think it's they're old?
If it's lack of conditioning or lack of preparedness, I mean, either way, I'm concerned.
I see. I don't think it's that. I think it's that there are just other teams that are faster than them.
They look slow.
And it's harder for them to get going because, you know, they're just not as young as some other teams.
I mean, we have two quick peeks at them. Do they look like an elite hockey team right now?
No.
Or one of the top teams? No, they don't.
No, but
I
feel
like a team that's having a tough time getting
restarted. But I feel like
here.
They may have looked the same way back in September when they started camp. And then by the time the regular season rolled around, they were their normal selves.
Well, it's 2020. There's a pandemic. You can't go back to last year and how you started. It's all about, you know, how are you playing right now in this hockey bubble? And it doesn't look good for them right now. It doesn't. It looked good for, what, a period and a half yesterday.
Here's the other question. Would you be shocked if all of a sudden Hardy put four games on it? Four games in, they look great?
No, I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't either.
No.
It's like one of the saving graces here of this team is no one's going to be surprised if they can turn it on. Because they just hit that point, whatever that point may be, that they need to get to.
Just to get one or two of those shots, a little more zip on one of those shots that goes in. You know, a little more hustle back in your own zone. Just a couple of things here and there. It would change my mood and change my mind about that team. And I think for everybody, dramatically. And it wouldn't even necessarily have to result in, you know, back-to-back wins in these first two games. Nope. But make more of a showing against Philadelphia and show me just a little bit. But show me that you belonged on the same ice with Tampa for stretches of that game. Because yesterday, they did look like two different teams, even though the score was
How about give Tuukka a two-goal lead? How about give him a lead? Let's see how he plays at a two-goal lead.
Thank you.
And I think a little more pep in your step back end defensively. You can use some of that.
Right, why don't you let your guy play out from out in front? Just a little bit.
Even Wagner looks like he's the guy out there busting his ass and everybody else just kind of on cruise control. That's an issue for your team. That's not a shot at Wagner. Wagner busts his ass all the time. You know, they showed some fight there. And Krug tried to get him going. I'll drop him. Let's go. A little spark. I think Richie did it too after that when I tried to get a little rough stuff going on the sideboards. But other than that, that's the only physical stuff you saw in the damn game.
And again, who the Bruins will play in the first round, we still don't know. We don't know what the matchup is going to be now. It could end up being that they face a tougher matchup in the first round and a not-so-tough matchup in the second round. That could be the way that shakes out, even if they do end up as the fourth seed.
Hopefully they can just mentally handle switching locker rooms and practice ice, like Tuukka said. You know,
Well, it's a major concern.
He's really aware of that, right? Like, that's what you're going to throw back in an interview. Interesting.
I think it was his way of just sort of downplaying
calming the nerves. Yeah,
it's not even calming the nerves. It's like what is it?
Dude, we're two games in.
What does it really mean? What we're still in the playoffs. We're gonna have to play a different team, and what it means is we got to go to a different locker room. I mean, we're talking about it like, you know, without trying to blow it out of proportion. Well, what does it mean? That this is what it means.
Well,
means that we're not gonna be the number one seed, where you have a different locker room and a different place to practice or something.
The problem for 4 months is we work from home and their season was halted and we had to sit here and talk about the big teams that are gonna be coming back, which one has the best shot, and everybody's like Bruins. And it's just doesn't look like they thought that or they were ready. We just anticipated that this team's gonna come out flying, they're gonna be good, and talent takes over, and you know, they're loaded. Two good goalies, one's Vezina guy. Yeah, loaded team. They don't look loaded right now. Two teams they played look loaded. Like, damn, that guy's big.
Flyers were a little bit of, I mean, Tampa Bay's not surprising.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay looks good. Look like they're...
I don't care about the size so much unless it manifests into like a really nasty defense like we saw from the Blues last year. Like, you tell me another team is bigger and more physical, so what? Can they skate? Can they score?
Yeah, but they played those teams in the past. But they were able to... Even Marchand was able to skate around those guys, right. You know? Just
but, but if it turns whatsoever. Into a St. Louis Blues situation where it's like, oh, yeah, they're big and they can skate and they stay back and they don't allow you clean entry into their zone and they mess things up for you when you're trying to get stuff going offensively and they tend to own the neutral zone. Yes, that's when the size will bother me. But for right now, I'm like, that's so what? All right, they're bigger. Jake, what do I care?
Jake in Boston on the Bruins. Jake!
Hey, guys, the bubble itself is a variable. And it's going to work for some teams. I'll explain why it's going to work for the Patriots if they ever do it. And it won't work for others, like the Bruins. Remember, the Bruins' mindset here was a team that would have been awarded the Stanley Cup by default had they not played another game, which is why I was rooting for the Virus, to sending a team where two of its best players have had a history of not handling their booze well into a situation where they've got nothing to do but play hockey and drink. So that's one. Then you throw in the fact that this team has been slapped around for the last 2 weeks on what hats they can and can't wear, what shirt logos may or may not be photoshopped by the PR people, and they look like a team that's just distracted. Not being able to defend your teammates against Boston Globe report, you don't think this stuff shows up on the ice, but it certainly does. It's all in their heads right now because there's nothing to do but play hockey and goof around on social media. Now, a team that would do really well in a bubble would be the Patriots, because imagine Bill Belichick in a bubble with limited time for family outside of his two kids who are coaching. That's worth 2 to 3 wins right there. And remember, Bill hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler since Linda moved into the house back in 2013.
I'm going to end it right there. Perfect. Wow. here's the one part I disagree with Jake on. One part. I don't believe that the Bruins or anybody else actually believed they were going to be awarded the Stanley Cup. That's not realistic. That was not a realistic expectation, and I don't think anyone actually believed that.
Was Jake saying that literally? He did no. Okay.
No. Even at the beginning when Neely talked about it.
I think he believes that that was the case. I know there were some people that believed that they didn't play the season to a completion. You know, the rules were you can give the Bruins the cup. I'm sorry. I don't think that was going to happen. And I don't think anybody with the Bruins thought that was going to happen.
And I don't think that's a rule that's written anywhere
anyway.
And not
only that, nobody would respect it if they did it.
Who would
respect that move?
Nobody.
But it didn't play out that way.
There is a trophy for having the best regular season. It's called the President's Cup. They already won it. Congrats.
Yeah. Now, the part about the Patriots is right, but the difference being the NHL, the players agreed to it. They don't have a full season to make up.
Right.
They've got three games in playoffs to make up.
You have a round robin. Yeah.
So, you know, if the NFL players had agreed to it, yes, you're right. The Patriots would thrive under that situation, making everybody go to summer camp for 5+ months.
Huh.
It would be great for them. But they didn't agree because they have a much longer season ahead of them. So I understand what he's saying. The Pro Bowlers, is that true? Since I have to check that timeline on that. More of your calls are coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What's up? They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, it's going down. Yeah.
It's going down. I'm yelling
Timber.
You better move.
I like Derek's Timber better.
I was just going to say, this makes me think of Derek and Foxborough. Now.
Where is that little... A little freak out.
Timber. Hey, Timber lady.
Jim, can you play Derek's Timber instead of this? See the shark sightings today, Hardy?
All over the place.
5 beaches closed. It's happening. Keep getting in them waters.
Sharktivity app keeps blowing up.
going to happen inside the Bay. I'm telling you. Not Outer Cape. Not Outer Cape. Not out here. Not Truro. North Plymouth. Right in that area. Honeypot.
The Honeypot.
Southwest Quarter Stellwagen. They get them fish out there. Them people. The wells are everywhere. They're chumming the waters there and just attracting all that nasty stuff. And that's where the sea life is. Just going to head right there. Cohasset down to North Plymouth. That's the sweet spot.
Five different beaches, you said?
Five Outer Cape beaches closed, yes.
Closed today.
Whew.
And they spotted
one today.
And they spotted sharks at all of them.
Yeah, they're there.
My God. Yeah. Well, it's August. And 'tis the season. This email from frequent emailer Neil Hardy.
He says, I know what you're talking about.
Neil the emailer.
Yeah, he's a lot of good stuff.
Neil.
John Sterling has four kids that we know about. Including, this guy's got the most information ever. I'm sure it's out there on Wikipedia or something, but he's quick to provide it. Sterling has four kids we know about, including a 22-year-old daughter and 19-year-old triplets, two boys and a girl.
Wow.
That's probably why he continued to work so long,
mm-hmm.
says Neil the emailer. So, yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Triplets, that's kind of rare.
Yeah, it's got to be enhanced.
What?
What? What are you laughing about?
Just laughing. Triplets.
What are you laughing about?
Nothing.
What's so funny?
Nothing. I think Matthew Stafford has triplets. His three daughters. Little suckers. Little blonde girls. Triplets.
I know that he had a bunch of kids, and that was why they
He had a bunch of them.
That's why they
had to sell that house on the river. Was it river?
They had a pool. They had a lake river thing. They had too much water with all those damn kids.
Kids falling in the water and just floating around.
A lot of kids around there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that. So that's what we know. 617-779-0985. Do you guys know who Jake Paul is, by the way? I'm fascinated by this
Paul's
story,
brother?
And I saw that Jim had it in our list.
Hardy
things.
Had it in. Hardy put this one in.
Is this your deal today?
Yes. Sean Paul's brother? Sexy lady gonna get
it's a Disney guy, right?
He's a YouTuber.
I don't know. I don't know what he does. First time I ever heard of this guy was when I found out he was fighting on the undercard of the Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight, and he was going to be fighting Nate Robinson, the former Celtic. So that's all I know about this guy is that he's identified as a YouTuber, and he's apparently been doing some boxing. He was some other social media guy.
Yeah, he was on a Disney show. You're right, Jim. I wasn't aware of that. I know of him through his YouTube.
How do you get paid?
What does he do on YouTube? What does he do?
Does anybody do on YouTube?
How do you get paid for that?
They through the ads on
ads
on the.
I don't know, but my kids watch it all day long, nonstop.
That's all
day.
That's all my kids watch.
You're off the grid. They have to.
And I said, yeah. I'm like, oh, that Jake Paul guy looks like they're raiding his home. And all I can think of is, I've seen this guy. He's in all these videos that the kids are watching.
So when I see FBI raid, the first thing I think of is a couple of things: terrorism or like bad pornography, right? Normally something involving kids and it's bad. This apparently, from the first report that I read, is maybe something to do with his involvement in one of the protests.
Okay.
So apparently he was eating at a P.F. Chang's at the mall, the Scottsdale Fashion Square in Scottsdale during
so
George...
So I ate at that P.F. Chang's.
Really?
Yeah.
During the George Floyd protests, like this was May 30th. It escalated quickly. People began looting the mall. Multiple instances of footage show Paul and his friends outside of the P.F. Chang's during the riot, and they made their way into the mall where they documented the incident. People on social media criticized Paul for entering the mall and standing in the middle of the mall, witnessing people looting stores. He later apologized on social media.
You don't remember the Jim Law story about Mike Reese that day? We were at that P.F. Chang's, and we sat at one of those elevated tables. And Jim elbows me and goes, hey, Reese is here. Say hi. I'm like, he's not here. Where? He goes, down there. We look down. His eyes are right at the table level.
Oh, God.
Like right here looking up. Look at you down there.
He then, because of the videos, was charged on June 4th with criminal trespass and unlawful assembly, both misdemeanors, for being in the mall and documenting it and posting it on YouTube.
Okay.
The charges were dropped yesterday without prejudice. The Scottsdale Police Department said it was in the best interest of the community, and they would allow a federal criminal investigation to be completed. So because he was in the mall and had his charges dropped there, he was then raided for some reason yesterday. Mm. But I read today no arrests are planned. But they hauled out a bunch of guns out
of
his house.
They're looking for something. They went there to find something.
Did you see the gun propped up against the hot tub?
Yeah, we don't need you, bro. We need to take a peek at something else here.
And I immediately thought, I wonder what Hardy's opinion of that hot tub is.
How dare he discredit a hot tub like that? I've not seen that photo yet. Let me take a look.
Yeah, look for that one.
Yeah.
Is it?
Let me just tell you, the YouTube business based on this home?
Yeah.
It's a good business to be in.
Good business.
You know, when you watch these YouTube shows with these families and these kids, they start out in your average 2-3-bedroom home, right?
Yeah.
Might be a ranch or a nice family-sized colonial. And then all of a sudden, by like, 18 months later, they're living in a mansion.
Dang it, my kid. He knows.
They've all upgraded their homes.
He watches all those channels. And he showed up the other day. He said, I'm sitting there on a couch. Here comes my kid. He's got basketball under one arm, and he's holding a beer. And he's like, hey, Dad, you want a beer? I'm like, no. Why? I've seen this thing, okay? Did you see that where they hold a basketball and you put the beer, open a beer and you put it on top, the basketball. And you hold the basketball and you drop it and the ball bounces on the beer, goes up in the air like a rocket and spins. You got to grab it and chug the beer. And I'm like, I'm not doing this. So you can't make me drink.
Hey, somebody just tweeted us that there are people who make millions on YouTube unveiling things like you guys are doing each day, opening those boxes.
What do I need to do?
Well, Portnoy.
Dude, how do I do it?
Dude, the click.
You just get Portnoy boxes every day. You online shop all the time.
Let's do it.
Dude, the ads. Unboxing. The ads. Portnoy did this already. He got all those clicks.
Yeah, but
and
that
ads.
Was because people like him.
Yeah.
That was like,
well, people like Jim. How do you not like Jim?
These are people who have YouTube channels.
Name one person that doesn't like Jim.
These are people who have YouTube channels just to unbox stuff.
Well, why don't we start that?
That's where you get really weird and you start sending in 2019, snakes and stuff. Black Mamba.
You ever heard of Ryan's Toy Review?
No. Oh, yeah, that kid.
That kid made $26 million last year.
Which, by the way, I don't believe. I don't believe it. I don't. I don't believe that kid made $26 million.
I'm with you because that should not be set up that way to where that kid could make that type of money.
He's got
that.
Products in Walmart and Target and the YouTube channel and all from YouTube.
He has his own product line now?
Major retailers.
Oh, okay. Now, if you're telling me from all the stuff, but just from YouTube, he didn't make $26 million. There's no way.
Well, I could tell you that on YouTube, just YouTube revenue from 2017 to 2018, mm-hmm. in a one-year period, he made $22 million, mm-hmm. which he had doubled his previous year, which was $11 million.
Don't believe it.
He's made tens of millions of dollars. He's now, I think, like 9 or 10 years old.
I can't do this.
He's a kid.
Are you talking about that walled-off thing next to the plunge pool? Is that what you're referring to as the hot tub at Jake Paul's house?
It's a standalone hot tub. It would absolutely right away be recognized as a hot tub. It's got the cover half on.
What's he doing with a standalone hot tub, that type of house?
Oh, wait a second.
Because it's on like a balcony.
Yeah.
Here you go, Hardy. You have it up right here.
Oh. I think that's Sundance. Yeah. Mm.
What's Sundance?
It's on like
hot tub?
Sundance. It's a model, yeah.
That's a model, yeah. Well, what do you make of the
Is that not the Gyro 3600?
I don't think that's a weapon. I think, you know, and we've considered doing this too because I have the standalone also, like maybe a little handrail there, you know, for when we have the elderly swingers.
Yeah.
So you just prop up that long rifle there and you just. You grab, what's the top of it? What's the shooty end called? Where the sight is? The end of the barrel? You know, the portal?
I thought where
the bullet comes out? I'm a gun guy. So I don't want to talk over your head. But, you know, the bang bang part. Not the pulley trigger, but the pachoo part.
The shoot.
Yeah.
Shoot with CH instead of an S.
Yeah, you just take like. Shoot. Three fingers and just grab onto the chute when you're climbing up the stairs, and then you get into your tub. I'll come take a look at the photo here during the break.
Come take a look. Open phone line 617-779-0985. Yeah, there's a permanent one over there.
Oh, man.
I'll get back to your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As promised, something to give away right now. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. At 617-931-0985. Please call the contest line. Call the correct number so you have a chance to win. 617-931-0985. Caller 10, you will score a $100 gift card to the Diamond Guild at Legacy Place in Dedham. Stop by any day before 6 p.m. to enjoy incredible store-wide savings of 30 to 75% off. Mm. All inventory must go now. Visit the Diamond Guild at Legacy Place. Do what I did, Zoe. Go to the Diamond Guild.
I know. I should have done that.
Should have. You still can.
I could still do that.
You still can.
Just give me the gift card. Give me the gift card.
Matt in Rhode Island has a YouTube channel. That's what he's telling us. Matt, tell us about YouTube.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey.
Cool. Yeah, we my family and I, we've been doing a YouTube channel since the pandemic started. And it's really crazy, you know, in our hometown, like, my daughter's five, and we're doing, like, a news type, you know, we also do, like, Saturday Night Live type sketch stuff.
Yeah.
And the kids, you know, they look at her like she's a celebrity now.
How much money have you made?
The money. The ad dollars start coming in once you get a certain amount of views.
How much money have you made? Are you putting in your pocket?
I'm not putting any money in my pocket yet, but it's been great, you know, to see the return.
I don't care about your family.
I want to know what the YouTube channel is.
My kids care about your family.
You know, I
care about your money.
Here's what I want to know. And speaking of YouTube, this YouTube channel, what's the name of that stupid family? The Christmas Jammies. I got my Christmas Jammies, and they do the,
I don't know.
The dad, the mom, and the two freaking
the Duggars. I don't know. What?
I don't know. No. And they do those parody songs, and it's like...
The
Holderness family.
John and Kate plus eight.
How weird he is.
That's what the basis for all this crap is.
Don't you tell me those a-holes make money on that.
That's who it was.
There's nobody more annoying than that family.
It was John and Kate who started this.
No.
That's why this stuff's popular.
No,
here's the problem with the Christmas jammy people.
Yeah.
And in addition to everything about them is a problem. How do you go out to the Golden Corral as a you know, family and yell at your kid when everybody's looking at you as the perfect family, the Christmas jammy family, like everything about them is perfect, right? They all get along. At some point, you're going to have to yell at your kid to stop hitting his sister with a fork when you're at Red Lobster. You can't do that. You can't be normal. You can't ever act like a normal family does after you've presented yourself as the perfect family with your stupid Christmas jammy videos.
Well, you're almost perfect. You're almost perfect. Your family. You guys went to Montreal that one trip, and you said Calvin was out of hand at dinner, and you had to take him outside. You took him outside to beat his ass. Well, how did you handle that?
I did not beat him, but I did take him outside away from the poutine. To explain to him that that's not how you act in a restaurant.
What did you say? Like, do you ever want to eat again? Or
I believe I made some empty threat that you could still get away with when he was at that age. It's like, you know, something to the effect of, you and I will get in the car and drive home by ourselves, and mommy and your sister will stay here and have fun, but you and I will go home and not watch Power Rangers. You know,
do you think Russell Wilson could have a YouTube channel?
He and his wife probably could.
Yeah. Okay.
Because people tune into them too.
There's a Russell Wilson video that has picked up some steam in recent days.
I haven't heard it yet.
Were we going to talk about this yesterday?
Yeah. Jim was telling us we should get to it.
You're going to get your heart headline ready. We're going to do that. We're going to do this on the other side.
Here's what I would say. Right. It's not new, by the way. The video's not new.
I haven't heard it. I know it's been out.
I saw it the first go round, which was a while ago.
Still weird.
Here's what we're going to determine. Would you watch a Russell Wilson YouTube channel based on a video he did of himself? which could be YouTube content.
See, I go in this with this preconceived notion to begin with, because every time he talks, he always ends up with "Go Hawks," and that just drives me nuts.
It's kind of a, it's a very cryptic question you ask, Beetle.
Well, let's get to that.
I would say I would like to learn more before I answer.
Well, listen to the video then. We'll get to the video coming up after headlines. There are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sports Hub.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Russell Wilson, quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. Rich man.
Go Hawks.
He's got a great contract, right?
Yep.
He's married to a celebrity.
Humpy hump.
See, no. Stop doing that.
I'm sorry.
Wrong singer.
On my goodies.
Yes. There you go. Sierra.
Damn it.
All right. Well, let's get to his video, though. Does he have a future as a YouTube star? Let's have a listen.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real excited. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego.
He's turning into his coach.
Sounds like Pete Carroll all the time.
Okay, guys, here we go. Let's do it. We're going to blitz him from the backside.
That's remarkable.
And what we're going to do when we come out at 3-4, second series, I'm going to go 4-3. We're going to go backside, Will Bitts. And here's what we do. We're going to get Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams will pay him a lot of money. He's going to get a big contract next year. He's going to come down. You're going to be the baller. You call defensive blitz right there. We're going to go get their ass, okay? That's Pete. Okay. A lot of energy.
All right, Russell. Go on.
Everybody has to have an ultra.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Russell Wilson, quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. Rich man.
Go Hawks.
He's got a great contract, right?
Yep.
He's married to a celebrity.
Humpy hump.
See, no. Stop doing that.
I'm sorry.
Wrong singer.
On my goodies.
Yes. There you go. Sierra.
Damn it.
All right. Well, let's get to his video, though. Does he have a future as a YouTube star? Let's have a listen.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real excited. But anyways, everybody has to have an ultra ego.
He's turning into his coach.
Sounds like Pete Carroll all the time.
Okay, guys, here we go. Let's do it. We're going to blitz him from the backside.
That's remarkable.
And what we're going to do when we come out at 3-4, second series, I'm going to go 4-3. We're going to go backside, Will Bitts. And here's what we do. We're going to get Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams will pay him a lot of money. He's going to get a big contract next year. He's going to come down. You're going to be the baller. You call defensive blitz right there. We're going to go get their ass, okay? That's Pete. Okay. A lot of energy.
All right, Russell. Go on.
Everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego.
I have one.
His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you got to be unlimited. You know, you
I'm all done. I'm all done.
Out. Zoe's out. 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 I don't even want to hear anymore.
I don't know what he's
talking about. Unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you got to be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who is your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll, they think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited. Tell him.
Originally posted May of 2018, the video has resurfaced in the last couple of days. Can you do something with your headphones there?
I don't know.
Like wear them?
I don't know what he's talking about, and I want him to shut up.
It's his alter ego, Mr.
Unlimited. This is where Stidham's heading. She's the original. Sierra's the original. I want you to play stuff about bro.
Here's a real question. Why are people wasting their content on any other place online other than YouTube?
This is women.
With all this money,
because you know what it is? It's women making them do it. You think they want to do it? I think Stidham wants to do it. How's the salad?
Good. This is Russell Wilson taping himself,
which is even more problematic because he's playing along now.
Scripted.
Yes.
Unlimited.
Yeah, you get the inflection? Unlimited. Yeah, not unlimited. Unlimited.
Is that his name's Mr. Unlimited.
Victory.
Victory. It smells like a victory.
Hardy's out. Zoe's out.
I'm out.
You'd watch.
No, she's annoying.
Why?
She's just... Even when he signed that deal that night. Remember when he signed a deal late at night, in the middle of the night?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they were in bed together, and she had to video it. And they're laying there, and he's like, go Hawks. And she's like, go Hawks. Let's go. It's me too.
I'm stuck in Seattle.
Hey, Seattle. He's like, hey, Seattle, I'm really tired, but I'm just going to
know what he said was
I'll be back for a long time. It's good to be a Hawk. I'll be a Hawk for life. It's like, go Hawks. Yeah. It's something about those videos with the other one in them.
Is there
Unlimited.
Is it like code for something else?
I don't know.
Like something to do with Jesus or something?
No, he probably has a leather suit he puts on at home, and it gets into some crazy sex club downstairs. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, that's
boom,
it. Boom, boom, that's boom, totally boom. It.
Yep.
617-779-0985. Mike and Brockton on the Bruins today.
Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So I wanted to talk about the Bruins. So from the Philadelphia game, I felt like one of the few bright spots was Studnicka and how he was able to do well, given how limited experience he has. So I was wondering what your thoughts are in terms of him not being in the lineup against Tampa, and then your thoughts on the other young guys like Bjork and Lezon, how those guys are doing, and then how you might see the second and third lines playing out once the first round starts.
Okay. I think that they're going to go right back to what they normally would do in the first round of the playoffs, and that the younger guys will get the same minutes they always get.
None.
That's what I think it's going to come down to.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if that's your point taken away from these games is Stenicker, I mean, you get some issues.
Here's sort of the problem with playing three games. Okay, so the Bruins play the first game against the Flyers, and they don't look good. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do in that game? Are you going to all of a sudden put your third and fourth lines out there and your young players out there just to prove a point to the veterans? No, you're not, because what you're going to go into that approach with yesterday, as Bruce Cassidy did, all right, may have just been a hiccup. It may have just been it's only one game. Easy to one game. Play the second game. Early, your top lines are not producing, and they don't look great, but they hang in there, and then they play better by the end of the game. You're not going to know. You're now not going to prove a point here in the third game when you actually might need it for to move bump up a seed. Like, wouldn't you, if this were just the regular season, you start putting some guys on the bench more to motivate
send messages,
them or
right.
send a message. Yeah. I don't think you have time for that right now.
No. Time for nothing right now.
Tom Brady is speaking in Tampa Bay. Is that happening right now?
110, I
just
think.
Just started
starts,
early, yeah.
Oh,
do
he's
you
early.
Want to dip into Brady and hear what he has to say
sure.
down there?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it.
You know, changing teams after a long period of time.
That sounds great.
You know, giving me an opportunity to really look at myself and what I want to continue to, achieve in my career and think that I can bring to a team. It's been different having the opportunity you know, over this time to, you know, move and then to, you know, for example, study my playbook. I mean, I really haven't had to do that in 19 years. So, you know, you forget, man, that's really tough. Like all the different terminologies and, you know, you're going back a very long time in my career to, you know, to really have to put the mental energy in like I did. So I have to work at it pretty hard physically still. You know, I put a lot of time and energy into making sure I'm feeling good in order to perform at my best. But mentally, I think that's been the thing that's, you know, obviously has its challenges. And I think you couple that with, you know, the coronavirus situation and it became even more difficult. So I think conversations we probably would have had, you know, in April we're having now. And I think that part is a bit challenging too. So, you know, the only thing you do is, you know, adjust to the situation, adapt the best way you can, put as much time and energy now as we can into it. And I think the reality is the clock's ticking on everybody. And we're going to have to work as hard as we can and not waste any minutes of any day trying to get used to one another and embrace the challenge and see it as an opportunity to see, you know, what we can become.
Next up is going to be Ira Kaufman.
Tom, Jason Light and Bruce Arians, they both say that one of the primary reasons you're here, Tom, is to raise the accountability of everybody in the building, everybody around you. Tom, how seriously do you take that responsibility and how do you do it?
Well, I really enjoyed, you know, being with Jason and getting to know Bruce, getting to know Byron and Clyde and a bunch of guys that I competed against either as a player, you know, or with them as coaches. So it's been kind of fun in that way to, you know, to see the different approaches to the game and so forth. You know, everybody sees football a little bit different. You know, it's about how we all see it together and how we can all be on the same page as we move forward. Ultimately, my goal is to go out there and do what I've always done is to be the best I could possibly be for the team. And, you know, I've tried to catch passes in my career. I've tried to make blocks. I've had a few runs, but I'm not very good at any of those. I think my best ability is, you know, reading defenses and throwing the football. So I think all of us being on the same page, which is something we're really working hard at, you know, to try to get on the same page after, you know, not having many opportunities. You know, we haven't had a full speed practice yet at all. So I'm anxious to get that started so I can start learning in a more typical way. So it certainly is, like I said, has its challenges.
Okay. Next up is going to be Greg Allman.
Hey Tom, thanks for doing this. Tom, the decision in terms of players opting out, I know the deadline is still today and it's a very personal decision for everybody. But across the league, you've seen a lot of players doing it. You guys, Buccaneers, hadn't had any until today. You had one backup lineup lineman announced today he's opting out. I just want to ask you about the buy-in factor when it comes to summer workouts, when it comes to what you've seen already. How much do you think your teammates have bought in on wanting to play and wanting to try and win something with you here?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, all those things are, you know, those are to be determined for all of us, you know, as we move forward and the type of buy-in and, you know, really what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And you got to work hard every day to, you know, bring your best emotional energy, you know, to be at your best physically, to learn, to know what to do in order to be your best. So, you know, the guys that I've been around, you know, it's been just that. I mean, guys are working really hard to get to know one another. You know, again, we haven't had any practices yet, so it's hard to, you know, football and, you know, throwing the ball around at a workout or something like that's a lot different than real football and being in the huddle and getting to know people in that way, knowing who you can really count on. But I think you just have to do what you can with what's we're all dealing with. Try to make the most of it and try to understand that we're you know, the clock's ticking on all of us and, you know, we've got a lot of work to do in a very short amount of time.
Okay. Next up is going to be Ed Encina.
Hi, Tom. Obviously, we know you're a guy who really, you know, puts it all into your body. You really value taking care of your body. I mean, I'm just wondering, how much have you been concerned about COVID as we've gone on to the past few months? You know, I know a few weeks ago you tweeted out the FDR quote, you know, but, you know, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. You know, how worried are you, or what's your level of concern about it personally? And just, you know, also the league wide that, you know, that you guys can get this season underway and complete it, since it's one that's, you know, really important to you guys.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're just, everyone's learning, you know, every single day a little bit more. So, you know, I think you just, you know, you take these things one day at a time, and, you know, the more you learn, I think we've all learned a lot over the last 5 or 6 months. I've always felt like, you know, taking care of my body was really important, not just for football, because that has been my job, but that's, you know, my quality of life in the future. I think you're of the belief that you either believe what you put into your body has an effect or what you believe doesn't have an effect. And I think for me, in my experience, the better I've treated my body, you know, the better I've eaten, the more hydrated I am, the better pliability treatments I get, the more sophisticated my workouts have been, the better my body's performed. So, you know, for me, it's been, when something works, you do more of it. When you do more of it, you see better results. So I've really tried to, you know, continue that throughout my career and build year after year. And it's given me a great opportunity to be at this age, still playing a sport that I love, because mentally I feel like I have, you know, all the ability. I've seen every defense. There's no play I haven't run. There's no defense I haven't seen. It's just physically, are you still able to execute your job? And I'm very fortunate to still be able to do that. And I know it's a contact sport, and there's some things that are out of your control, but, you know, that's a pretty good lesson for life too. You don't have everything in control in life either. And the best you could do is prepare your body, prepare your mind for whatever comes at it. And then, you know, you have to always be able to adjust and adapt as best as possible.
Okay, we have time for a couple more. Next up is going to be Mike Giardi from the NFL Network.
Hey, Tom, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. I'm just curious, you know, you talked about not being able to practice with these guys, but you have been able to work out with them quite a bit. Just your impressions of the overall talent level at the skill positions around you. And then if I could just piggyback off that, how does Gronk look?
Yeah, we've had different, you know, different times to work out together. It's been good being here in the building and actually being directed by the coaches of, you know, this is what, you know, we're going to work on, and these are the plays we're installing. So you have a better idea of how things are going to come together in the offense. So, you know, the guys have worked really hard, and it's been fun getting to know the receiver position. There's a lot of, obviously, none of the guys I've played with, you know, Gronk's the only guy I've really played with, so I know what he can do. And it's really up to everybody to go out there and earn their role. And I've always believed that, you know, you get out of it what you put into it. And a lot of guys are working really hard, and, you know, they're working hard because it's their career and they want to do a great job. You know, regardless of who the quarterback was, that's important for all these guys. It's football matters to Mike and to Chris. You know, I've loved being around those two guys who are great leaders, not only great players, but great leaders. Cam and OJ, who have been here, have been, you know, really great, along with the other tight ends in the group, Dare, Rojo. I met Shady the other day here on the practice field. So, it's a good, hardworking group, really smart players. And, again, it's going to be up to all of us to come together and to see how we can make it all work.
Okay, our last question is going to come from Jenna Lane.
Hey, Tom. You've been in the same place for 20 plus years. So what is it like for you coming to this new place? When will Tampa Bay start to feel like home for you, not just off the field, but on the field in Bruce Arians' offense? When will you know you've reached that point?
That's a good question. I mean, it's, again, I think part of, I said earlier, is, you know, you're trying to learn a bunch of different things, and you're trying to, you know, not only learn an offense, but learn your way to work, or learn guys' names. You know, I didn't even know where the quarterback room was, you know, or the full team meeting room was. So you get in here and your brain's trying to figure out a lot of different things. So every day that goes by, it's getting a little bit better. I'm glad we're not playing a game, you know, this Sunday. I'm glad we have time to prepare. You know, it's been a good week or so being in here. And I think every day I'm trying to take advantage of the opportunity to improve myself so that I can be the best quarterback for this team that this team really deserves. These guys are working really hard and you know, I want to come in here and do a great job for them.
All right. That's all for today. Tom, thanks for taking
the time.
Appreciate
it, guys. Have a great day. Thank you.
That is Tom Brady, Buccaneers quarterback. That's never going to look right or sound right in saying it. Buccaneers quarterback.
But it feels like football when he talks.
It does. It absolutely does.
Because we're getting nothing down there. Like, really.
I don't think he's going to engage on the COVID topic at all.
He mentioned it. He brought it up.
Yeah, I mean, he got asked about it. But
yeah, he said it's kept us at bay to where we can't get in there. We're doing things now that we normally would have been doing in April.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way he addressed it. Yeah.
But it's not going to get in his way one bit.
No.
Not even a
little. No, they're full go now.
617-779-0985. That's Brady. We've got today's takeaways coming up at 150. More of your calls are on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.